Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we'll be starting verse number 11 today, which says, "As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." And we've been looking over our last few episodes at some things related to the behavior of the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy as they ministered to this assembly in Thessalonica, and how what the individuals in Thessalonica saw was actually a pattern for them, and Paul is calling this into their mind so they would know exactly how it is that they're supposed to be behaving as the members of the body of Christ. And so that's why we see, as we begin here in verse number 11, this is just, "As ye know," that Paul's continuing to have this thing of that they know all of these things, having witnessed their behavior, having been taught the things of the Word of God, and they could actually see these things. And he takes it into how we exhorted. So he takes it into this issue of the exhortation that is supposed to be there as the members of the body of Christ functioning with one another. When you see that term, exhorting, it's talking about the issue of the encouragement that is supposed to be there for the other members of the body of Christ. Now, we see how this is an important part of how a local assembly is to function. If we go over, it's going to turn to Acts chapter number 14 for a moment. And here in the book of Acts, we're going to see where Luke is writing some things dealing with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to see in these couple verses some information related to how individuals are supposed to be functioning together as they come together in the ministry. And we're going to read verses 22 and 23 of Acts chapter number 14. It says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when he had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." And you see this issue of the function of the local assembly. Verse 21, which we didn't read, starts off with the idea of the preaching of the gospel, the idea of the evangelism that's supposed to be there. So giving people the information that they need in order to be saved, you know, the gospel message that's for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. An individual puts their trust in that and that alone. It gives them salvation today. That's the first part of what the local assembly is supposed to be doing. Then you see how it talks into this issue of the confirming the souls of the disciples. That's getting into some of the issues of the edification that's supposed to happen. As the Word of God is being discussed, as individuals are studying the Word on their own, there's an edification process that happens, the building up of individuals so that when they become rooted in the doctrine and will not be tossed to and fro as individuals come in and teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. They'll also learn exactly what it is that they're supposed to understand, and by having the things that they understand in them, it will impact how it is that they're living their life. That's all part of the edification process. And then think of exhorting them to continue in the faith. So there's an encouragement that's going to be needed to have individuals continue in the faith that individuals are receiving. That's, you know, such an important thing when we really look at things related to the dispensation of grace of God, because there's a lot of things that really try to take people away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided, whether it's the things that individuals try to come up with from man's wisdom, you know, the things that come up when people just take passages that don't apply to us, try to make them apply to us, so they pull people away from the truth. The Paul says there has to be this encouragement to have people stand for the truth. Then you see how he closes it out there, talking about the eldership, that raising up of the next generation who's going to be carrying out this message, continuing teaching the truth of this gospel, allowing for what Paul says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So that piece of this exhortation, and I want over here the 2 Timothy chapter number 4, because we're going to see Paul make a reference to this again over here as Paul's writing his last epistle here and giving information that the body of Christ actually needs in order to make sure that the body of Christ is functioning properly. And that's a lot of what you see over in 2 Timothy, is the idea of, you know, chapter number 3 talks about how the body of Christ is going to eventually start fading away. And there's all these warnings related to, you know, how the body of Christ is going to start looking like the rest of this world, because they're not going to be standing for the truth of God's word rightly divided. In chapter number 4, Paul turns around and says, okay, I've explained to you what the danger is. Now I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do in order to make sure that you don't fall into this trap. And let's start here at verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And you see how Paul, as he's charging Timothy, knowing that his time is running short and that he's going to die, he's giving really these last words of, Timothy, this is what you need to make sure you are doing. Make sure that this is what the body of Christ is continuing to do. And it starts off with this issue of preaching the word. The word has to be where all of the focus actually remains. And as he's laying out these things, you see how it becomes, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Encouragement, the exhortation, you know, it needs these two things in order to be functional in the body of Christ. It needs to have that long suffering, because there's going to be a lot of things that occur with the members of the body of Christ to where there's not going to be the change that we think there should be in the immediate sense. There's going to be times where individuals who have had a lot of time studying the Word of God rightly divided are going to be stubborn, stuck on some things, going to be doing things that really look like they're contrary to what the doctrine says. The doctrine is shared with them, and they're not making the changes that people think that they should. And so that long suffering is that you have to keep going back. You have to, you know, let's teach it again. Let's teach it again. Let's teach it again. until the doctrine finally starts to take root. And that's why it's all long-suffering and doctrine. Doctrine is always going to be where this has to go back to, because it's only the Word of God that can actually have any sort of change in the life of an individual. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to see something again related to this idea of the exhortation that is supposed to be part of the life of a believer. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we're going to read the very first verse of the chapter here. It says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So you see how Paul, as he's writing this, you have the issue of he's beseeching, begging them in this, and he's also has to encourage them in this, that they would walk in the manner as they have received the Lord Jesus Christ. An individual receives the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith, and because that's how we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we should be walking in Him. We shouldn't be trying to put ourselves under the law system, because the law is not going to work for a believer today. The only thing that can work is the information in the dispensation of the grace of God, the information we get from the Apostle Paul's epistles, starting in the book of Romans, ending with the book of Philemon. That's the information that we need. And as we study this information and take it in, it's going to be applied to our lives, and we're going to understand exactly how it is that we are supposed to be living the life that God intends for us today. Let's go over here now to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And again, we're going to see something that the Apostle Paul is going to say related to this, you know, using this term exhort as he's teaching some things, because he has to encourage people to be doing all of the things that God's Word actually says. And we're going to read here the first two verses of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And it says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." So here you have the Apostle Paul encouraging Timothy, and by extension encouraging the entire body of Christ, in relationship to our prayer life. And he starts with the idea of that, your supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and the giving of thanks, because the giving of thanks is always supposed to be part of the prayer life of a believer. And he says that it's to be made for all men. Now, that means it's for all individuals who are saved, and our prayer life is also supposed to be for individuals who are unsaved. Now, the prayer for the unsaved is that they would receive the salvation that comes from the gospel that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. That they would have that gospel given to them, and that they would actually hear it, and that they would believe it, so that way they could receive salvation. That's the prayer that we have for the unsaved. That's why you see Paul actually talk about things of praying for that door of utterance to be open. That's the opportunities for the gospel to be shared. He prays for that spirit of boldness, that feeling of that, you know, I need to be able to share this message. You know, because for many people, it's not always easy to be going out and sharing this type of information. Now, for the saved, our prayers, you know, related to things of individuals coming unto the knowledge of the truth. For individuals related to the things that they're going on in their life. You know, that's the things of where our prayers are for all men. Now, it's always easy for to have prayers be for individuals that you care about. It's not always easy to have prayers for the people you don't care about. And that's why when he even takes into the next thing of when he says for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, that prayer is for anybody that has those type of positions of authority in a governmental structure. Now, that's not, I'm only praying for the individuals who happen to be in my political party or share my political viewpoints. And, you know, I'm going to pray that, you know, if they don't share my viewpoint on things, I'm going to pray that they lose their next election and that somebody else gets elected. That's not what the Apostle Paul is actually saying here. He's saying that we pray for all individuals who have this authority. And here's the reason why. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's the prayer that we have related to the governmental leaders, is that we would have a peaceable life. It's not a thing that we pray for certain pieces of legislation to be passed. We just pray that we're going to live in peace, that we're going to be able to enjoy the security that we have the liberty to, you know, be able to study the Word of God. You know, individuals around the world don't have that liberty. They don't have that security to be able to do those things. We do here in the United States. Many of the other individuals who were, you know, listen to this, you know, in other countries have that same ability to study the Word of God without fear of what's going to happen to them. That's the prayer that we are supposed to have related to all leaders who are in authority. Let's go over to Titus chapter number 2. We're going to see something else related to this idea of this exhortation, the encouragement that's supposed to be there. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 6. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So Paul here, as he's writing this first part of, you know, this section here in the Titus, is dealing with some things about how the older individuals in the assembly are supposed to be functioning with the younger members of the assembly to give them, you know, some of the wisdom that they've learned over the years. And here he's saying that, you know, the older men should be exhorting the younger men to be sober-minded, to have this type of thinking, so that way they wouldn't be creating problems for themselves. And we see how, if we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we're going to see what it is that all of this is actually supposed to be coming from, related to this idea of this encouragement. We're going to read here verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we see how Paul, as he's describing the things of the scripture, and he's saying all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, when we look at that term scripture, it's talking about everything from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to the very end of the book of Revelation, all of that is considered to be scripture. He's saying that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And since it's being given by inspiration of God, it's being identified as being scripture, it's also going to have all of these things that Paul is describing as being true related to the scripture. It's profitable for doctrine. So there's information that we get about how to apply things to our lives, to understand what God is doing. There's things related to reproof. So it's going to be, you know, giving us, you know, further clarity on things. For correction. So it's going to be correcting errors that we have. For instruction in righteousness. So scripture is going to be doing all these things. The purpose that the man of God may be perfect, complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. So we would have the ability to do the good works that come from understanding all scripture. Now, when we see this term in all scripture and talking about, we always have to have the thing in mind of what Paul had said in chapter number 2, verse 15 of this very same epistle related to that all scripture here, when he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because we have to always apply, when we talk about all scripture, understand that right division is necessary when we're talking about the things of scripture, because there's information that's written directly to us. That's Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. There's information that does not apply directly to us, and, you know, things that were written, you know, in the prior times, what's called time past, as starting in the book of Genesis, ending with the book of John. You know, that's the time past information that we have. You have the book of Acts, which is the transition from the information from time past into where we are today. So it's really dealing with the idea of why it is that Israel has been set aside, what their failure actually was. Then you have a section of the scriptures, the ages to come, Hebrews through Revelation, that deal with the thing of, okay, here's how the prophetic program is actually going to wrap up. Here's the information that's going to be needed to be able to get to the kingdom being established here on planet Earth. And an individual needs to be able to understand, okay, there's, you know, things that directly apply to that time, but there's also information that's there that actually is doctrine for individuals today. Because, you know, there are things that the Apostle Paul doesn't need to talk about that are actually true that we can find from, you know, for example, the Apostle Paul doesn't say a thing about the doctrine of hell. You know, and there's a reason why the Apostle Paul doesn't say anything about it, because Paul's writing to the saints. He's giving the saints the information that they need on how to live their life today, so that way they're going to be able to be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places. A believer today, you know, the doctrine of hell, he doesn't need to talk about it because it's not a reality for anyone who's trying to apply Romans through Philemon to their life. But the reality is, we know that there is a place called hell because the scriptures identify it. We know what the reality of it is. We know who it is that ends up there, all because the scriptures identify those things. But Paul never has to mention any of that information in his epistles. Just like he, you know, makes one very brief mention about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ over in the book of Galatians in chapter number 4. You know, you can find a lot of other information that lays out the doctrine about the birth of Christ, but Paul just makes a very passing reference to it because, again, it's not something that has a major impact on the life of a believer today. It's a reality. It's doctrine that's there. It's information we can gain from the other epistles, but we also don't gain the information of how it is that, you know, we are supposed to be dealing with certain things today, you know, from, for example, the book of Psalms. We would get the information about how to deal with things today out of the book of Romans as the Apostle Paul is giving us this, that information. And that's where we deal with the things of our exhortation and the encouragement, is that we need to be making sure that we're encouraging individuals to be sticking with the information that the Apostle Paul teaches. Keep them, you know, studying the Word of God, growing in it, so that way they can live the life that God intends for them. Now, in our next episode, we're going to talk about the comfort that the Apostle Paul talks about that comes from the things of the Word of God. And as always, as we close up here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook, or how to join our Wednesday night Bible study. You know, that's your conference call option. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything that you see on our website, anything you hear in any of our studies, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.